Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. Companies are always looking for ways to improve employee performance. Well, our next guest says if you want high-performing workers, put them in high-performing buildings, specifically green-certified buildings. A study conducted by researchers at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health Center for Health and the Global Environment and SUNY Upstate Medical Center in Syracuse, New York, examined the relationship between building conditions and occupants' productivity and well-being. It found that working in high-performing green-certified buildings can improve employees' cognitive function and even help them sleep better.
So what are the buildings like? What did the workspaces offer that made such a difference for employees? And why was the green building designation so critical to the study's results? Here to explain is Dr. Piers McNaughton, an associate director of the Healthy Buildings Program at the Harvard Center for Health and the Global Environment. Dr. McNaughton was the project manager for the study.
Welcome to Take Care, and thank you for informing us about this emerging topic.
Thank you for having me.
It's a lot to try to unpack, but tell us, how does a building's environment impact the productivity and overall health of its occupants?
There are a lot of factors that go into it, and what our goal was to really break down what are the ones that really drive it. So with our first study, we were in the Syracuse Center of Excellence, and the idea was to put our occupants in an environment where we can control these different factors. So we had people come in, spend time in this typical office, but the one main distinction is that from the floor below, we could control levels of certain factors in the space to see how that would change how they perform on cognitive tests from one day to the next. So in particular, we looked at things like ventilation rates, volatile organic compounds. These are things that come out of office supplies, cleaners, all sorts of building products. And then lastly, looking at carbon dioxide, which is something that we as occupants generate, and looking at how do these different factors influence cognitive function. So on each day, they had different levels they were exposed to. And we found that when people spent time in a space representative of a green environment, they scored 61% higher on this cognitive test than when the same participants were in an office more like a conventional environment. So we also had them experience a optimized green environment where we not only reduce chemical loads but also increase ventilation rates, and their cognitive function scores doubled in those conditions. So we saw that these factors that we can control in our built environment can really change how we perform.
Just quickly describe for our audience what a green environment needs to meet to be considered as such.
So there are a couple of components that go into it. The primary part of it is energy efficiency, and that's what really drove the green building movement in the first place. But they also have credits designed around things like indoor environmental quality, so lighting, noise, air quality, chemicals. So we think those are the factors that are going to affect how people perform. And we're now recently seeing that there's more of a focus on these health sides of buildings rather than just the energy side, seeing how can we improve spaces for the occupants, make them not only healthier but also perform better.
We all want to breathe clean air and not have chemicals in the environment and drink clean water. Mm-hmm. But I know some of the things that you controlled for were lighting and temperature. And that can be so individual, don't you think, on personal preference? Or is there a universal standard that you think should be implemented and take away that choice from individuals, like in their cubicles? Can they control their own lighting? Or is there something where there's conclusive evidence that a certain lighting and a certain temperature is really optimum?
So the research suggests that there are certain ranges, but like you said, everyone has their own preference. So a lot of what we encourage designers and architects to do is to make the space flexible, to let people have some control over both their lighting levels and their thermal conditions, or we like to call it thermal health. What makes you really feel healthy in terms of your thermal conditions? But a big challenge for that is making that type of infrastructure available in buildings with lighting. We know from our research that daylight is a really important factor in having views outdoors of nature, that those can help reduce stress and help people perform better. But it can be hard from the perspective of a designer or a developer or an architect to make that available for all occupants. So our strategies are more around trying to say, how do we optimize and let people have the ability to choose?
Now, when you talk about a high-performing building, what does that look like?
Our team has dedicated a lot of effort to answering that question, and there's been a lot of literature over the last 40 years looking at all the factors in the built environment that affect people's health and well-being. We spent a lot of time this past year developing what we're calling the 9 foundations of a healthy building. You can view it on our website, forhealth.org. And this is essentially a list of those building factors that we know from the literature impact health. For each of these different foundations, we wrote a 2-page summary of, you know, why does it matter? How does it affect your health? How does it affect your productivity? So that we can really condense down that literature, which is often very dense and not always available. I mean, these are factors, I mean, there are no surprises here. It's things like we already talked about, lighting, thermal health, air quality, ventilation, security, noise. So these are factors that we're all familiar with, but I think for us it's a matter of really coming up with a complete list and providing the evidence behind why those things matter.
I know that at the same time you're doing this groundbreaking research, we see a lot of building going up across the U.S., and you have to admit a lot of times it falls under what we call the big box. It's just a structure. It doesn't seem that there's a lot of thought put into it. What do you think are some of the biggest mistakes architects and builders are making when they build buildings and set up a workspace in a commercial setting?
So the unique thing about buildings is that they have a lifespan almost on the order of how long we live as humans. Buildings are around for 50, 60, 70 years. So it's worth the extra effort up front to make sure that they are designed well, because they're going to be existing well into the future when we are going to really be expecting high performance. So that's one thing we put out there right up front. The other thing I think is making a clear ROI case, or return on investment, for why you should make these healthy environments. So a lot of what we dedicated our time to was saying, you know, making the case why improving cognitive function and performance is something that you can actually use to sell your building. If your building is going to make the occupants perform better, if you're a business owner, you're going to want to live in that building or rent that building out, because then your workforce is going to be more productive. So we've been trying to make that case to building owners, saying that optimizing these factors will increase the value of your property, and making the same case to tenants, saying that it's worth going after an optimized, high-performing building because your workforce is going to perform better.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness, produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen.
Our guest today is Dr. Piers McNaughton. He's an associate director of the Healthy Buildings Program, and he's also the project manager for a study talking about the 9 foundations of healthy buildings and how to make green buildings more productive and healthy for its occupants, in terms of how to sell this concept to builders and architects. And one thing that I'm sure comes up every time you talk to this group is the costs. Some of the changes probably actually will save them money in the long run, but some things might be expensive to put into place and maybe maintain in the years to come. For instance, suggesting that the building has water purification throughout. That probably is an expensive installation and possibly an extra cost for maintenance. How do you address the expense?
In some cases, it can be difficult because the outcomes can be very long-term. So you look at water quality, for example. The impacts of water quality usually has very long consequences for the occupants. So it can be difficult to make those cases up front. But some of them are much easier. So in our research, we looked at ventilation, for example. We saw these big benefits in terms of people's cognitive function for ventilation improvements, and we actually mapped it out. What would it take to achieve the ventilation rates that we looked at in our study? We found that to go from the standard of 20 cubic feet per minute of air per person to double that would cost between $14 to $40 per person per year. On the flip side, if you compare that to the benefits in terms of how well they're performing, that's on the order of $6,000 to $7,000 per person per year, just in terms of how much more they're able to work and improve their performance. So when you compare it that way, it's orders of magnitude different. Now, it can be hard to look at some of those chronic effects that aren't really related to productivity. How do you make the business case around those? It can be more difficult. But at the same time, we see that people are demanding these high-performing spaces. And if they don't have those features in place, they might look somewhere else. So a lot of times, if you're a building owner, that's the way to really differentiate yourself from your competitors.
We have been stressing the whole idea of worker productivity, as if, you know, green certified buildings and the 9 foundations of healthy buildings is something that employers mandate because they want to get more out of their workers, which in a sense, as you pointed out, is a good selling point. But you also found out that workers went home and they carried these benefits with them. You said that they, in some cases, slept better. What's behind that?
So that particular finding was very interesting, and it goes back to the exposure to lighting that they had in their office environment. So we found that participants that were sitting closer to windows that had more daylighting, more lighting, actually slept better at night. And this is because the bigger contrast between your daytime light exposures and your evening light exposures, that's what helps and trains your circadian rhythm. So this is basically what regulates your hormones that control how sleepy you are. So we saw that this effect of how much light you got during the day really controlled how well you slept that night. Now, in terms of why a building should try to optimize these things, we look at, you know, tenants like Google and Facebook. They're offering all these benefits in terms of health insurance, making the office a, you know, really nice place to be, offering lunch. These types of tenants are really looking for ways to encourage high-end talent to come work for their offices. And so one of the ways they can make that case to their employees is saying this office environment can help you feel better, it can make you sleep better. It's not just going to make you more productive, it's going to actually make your health and make you more healthier over time.
What is your ultimate goal?
Our goal is to really, you know, have healthy buildings everywhere. And our goal is to help get what we've found in our research out to not just building owners and developers that own a lot of the space, but also the general public, and having people more aware of how these spaces impact their health and well-being. And we've already seen that. I think that building owners and different companies are starting to feel the pressure from their employees about how they really are demanding having, you know, wellness programs, having their health at the center of what the business is looking at. So I think that just the increased awareness of the research we're doing, and not just us, but the research that's being done all around the world around these factors, that's helping make the case for optimizing these environments.
And I'm guessing I might be able to glean some of the research and wisdom that you are discovering in my own home, because I'm not a builder and I'm not an architect, but I wouldn't mind getting better sleep, and I wouldn't mind inhaling less toxins from some of the chemicals that are used. So I'm sure some of your research can really be helpful for a homeowner. Would you agree?
For sure. And we have a homes program and also a schools program that we are dedicating time to. And we find that it's a very different case to make in terms of, for example, schools. And if you're a parent, it matters a lot to you to know if your child's going to be developing asthma, if they're going to be missing school because they're not doing well, not feeling well. So it's a different story for different types of environments. On that same website, forhealth.org, you can go and download our Schools for Health report. It's Foundations for Student Success, which walks through all these factors that influence students and how they perform. And we'll be developing a similar thing for homes.
Dr. Piers McNaughton is an associate director of the Healthy Buildings Program at the Harvard Center for Health and Global Environment, and was the project manager for a study that showed green buildings make for higher performance in the workplace. Thanks so much for sharing your research with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been a great time.